Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Tonight, I just want to advance some principles that makes for walking in the miraculous. Because in these last days, we will need a lot of interventions. There are many spirits launched into the earth to bring havoc on humanity. Governments are confused. Leaders are confused. They don't even know where to go. The systems are designed to frustrate and to limit your potentials. In fact, there is a level and a dimension of prosperity you enter, they will probe you immediately. Because based on the design of the system, they know you are not supposed to operate at that level. So the system negates your prosperity. There are spirits negating your prosperity. And there are also men who will do everything possible to see that you are destroyed. And so while you are yet growing, once and again, you will need divine interventions. Miracles are not the best of God. The best of God is for you to grow and to walk in the blessings. But if God is waiting for you to grow, certain things will kill you even before you mature. If God is waiting for you to grow, there are some things you will not have until you leave this world. And so while God is putting all the resources required for your growth, there are other intervention programs He has created for your prosperity. When Israel left Egypt, the plan of God for them was to go to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But before they got into that land, there were many nations they needed to conquer. There was hunger and famine in the desert that they needed to conquer. There were sicknesses and afflictions they needed to conquer. If God waited for them to mature to handle those things, they would have perished. And so while they are yet progressing and journeying into the wilderness, God transforming them, purging them, circumcising them, there was a need for consistent operation of the miraculous. And so every Christian and every believer need to know the channels that make for the workings of miracles. Because these things are not a fluke. If you know it, you can replicate it any day, anytime. And the beautiful thing with this reality is that God makes it so simple that even children can enjoy it. There are certain things that are complex in the kingdom, and there are certain other things that are very simple. When God wants you to handle leadership position, especially when it has to do with nations and generations, He will carry you through a rigorous process for you to qualify to handle that level of influence and authority. So it's a complex route to go through. However, when it has to do with blessings, like receiving miracles, God makes it so easy so that everybody will prosper and everybody will make headway in life. And tonight my goal is to share with you in its most simple form how to route miracles into your life. The channels for walking in miracles. I don't want a situation where we tear so much anointing and you make the mistake of assuming it's because the man is anointed. I want to show you principles that even if you are a young believer, you will be able to exert and you will provoke miracles in your life. You know, our world is so backward now that the moment anything that looks miraculous begins to happen, they either tag it as fake or they tag it as diabolic. Because we are so backward as touching spiritual possibilities that even in the Christendom, we no longer believe that miracles are possible. There are places today where they have doctrines that suggest that miracles ended with the apostles, that miracles no longer happen today. And so the moment you begin to see miracles in your life, warfare will begin. Because they will call it fake or they will call it diabolic. As though God no longer works miracles. And the reason this is so is because we have not come to understand the truth of the word of God. I just came in from Ghana 2 days ago when I was done teaching. Because when I came, everybody was so excited, the apostle is here. And I told them what I'm teaching them is something I expect them to carry to the marketplace where apostle will not go to. What I'm teaching them is something I expect them to take to their jobs where I will not follow them to. So I wanted them to understand the principles, and when I was done, I called a few people out to pray so that others could receive. But unfortunately, they couldn't. They come out, they fall under the anointing, they come out. So I decided, everybody lay hands on yourself and apply what I have taught you. And they applied it. The first testimony we took was from a young girl of about 21, 22 years old. She came out and she said she had a tumor in her breast that was clinically diagnosed by the doctor. And it comes with a lot of pain. The moment she placed her hands on her head from the standpoint of revelation and commanded the tumor to dematerialize, herself was shocked. The speed with which everything vanished. The pain left, the tumor left, and she could not contain her joy. It therefore means if she was taught that truth, she would have been able to walk in it even before coming for the meeting. So when she walked into that meeting, her goal would have been to know God more and to grow in the things of the Spirit, not trusting God to do something that she could handle in her bedroom. And so when we teach these things, apart from the fact that we expect God to intervene immediately in your life, our greater focus is to bring you to that point where you can apply it. See, if most believers begin to walk in miracles, the idea of is fake, is diabolic will vanish. Because while you are yet arguing, they don't need to go and look for a prophet. The very Christian standing there will tell you, do you have a challenge? He will deal with it there and your argument will stop. But the body of Christ has not matured to that level. And there is a deficiency in understanding. This is why we have the problems that we have today. So tonight, I just want to show you 5 simple channels of routing miracles into your life. So that you can walk in miracles every day of your life. Trust me, your life can be an endless stream of the miraculous. Every aspect of your life, miracles can happen constantly if you know how to provoke them. And so I want to show you some of the channels that scriptures made available for working miracles. Hallelujah. Praise God. Number one is the channel of revelation. The moment you come into light, you come into authority. And the moment you come into authority, you provoke the miraculous. Miracles are not difficult. The challenge people have most of the times is that they are walking in darkness. The Bible said they know not, neither would they understand. It said they walk on in darkness. It said, but I have said, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. It said, but you will fall like one of the princes. Why do they fall? Because they know not, neither do they understand. Psalm 82 verse 5 and 6. So the moment you know and the moment you understand, you will no longer walk in darkness. And so revelation is a channel for provoking the miraculous. Paul was teaching in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 16. And he was telling us, he started praying for the church in Ephesus. And he said, for this cause I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And in verse 17 he said, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, it said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling and what is the exceeding riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints in light. So there is an exceeding riches. He called it exceeding. It's not an exaggeration. That means every saint has riches beyond quantification. There is something available for you that makes it an error for you to walk in lack. You are not designed to walk in lack in your health. You are not designed to walk in lack in your finances. You are not designed to walk in lack in anything that has to do with possession. Every area of your life where there is lack is also an alarm system of ignorance. Something is not known. That's why that lack is there. Because as far as God is concerned, there is an exceeding riches. Riches beyond quantification that is available to the saint. But how do you access it? You see from verse 17, Paul used four key words. Number one, he said you need wisdom. Wisdom is understanding knowledge and how to apply it. So it's like the ability to acquire facts and know how to use them. And then he went further. He said revelation. Revelation, wisdom is Sophia. Revelation is apocalypsis. It means opening you up into realms of possibilities. And then the third word he used the word, go back there, enlightening. That means light is shone forth. In fact, he went further to buttress it. That word is fortizo. It means light has come. Now, see the way this hall is. You came here because you knew this hall was here, and you also were aware that a meeting will go on. And so you navigated yourself here. That's Sophia. And then when you got here, if the doors were locked, you wouldn't have participated in this service. So anything happening in this service, you would not have enjoyed it. So the door needed to be opened for you to enter. So why Sophia is your understanding of how to access this place. Apocalypse, which is revelation, is your access into the auditorium where the action is taking place. Now, if you walked into this auditorium and all the lights were off, the first thing that would have happened to you would have been an accident. You would have collided either with the table or with a chair and injured yourself. Meanwhile, this is where you should have been blessed from. But the moment light was shone in this place, you could trace your way to a chair and you sat down comfortably, ready to receive. So Paul was telling us, everything we need for life is already available. But we need to have sufficient revelation. First of all, facts on how to get to where it is. Number two, access into where it's available. And number three, illumination so that we can take it. The moment revelation comes and these whole things are in place, you can pick anything from the realm of God at any time. Any miracle whatsoever, be it a health issue, be it a financial issue, be it a promotional issue, it is at the mercy of revelation. Peter spoke in this same light in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. He said, according as his divine power, he said he has given us to us all things that pertains to life and to godliness through the knowledge, through the epignosis, experiential knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. What does that mean? The moment you have knowledge, you will have access to all things that pertain to life and godliness. So your problem is not all things that pertain to life and godliness. Your problem is an ignorance that you have not been able to surmount. The moment you know how to access a reality, that reality becomes yours. And And so many times we face our problems, we think what we call the problem is the problem. And God is telling us that thing is not a problem. A beautiful scripture that my brother Jeremiah just quoted a moment ago, Romans 8:32. He said, if he did not withhold his only begotten son, but freely gave him to us, he said, how shall he not with him, not without him, with him, give us all things? That means, as far as God is concerned, he's not withholding anything from you. You see, most times we pray and we are begging God, hoping that God will look at our condition and be merciful. When he gave Christ, he released all his mercy. The reason we don't have it now is because we don't know how to receive it. This is why you need light in order to access everything that is available to you. And there are many ways to get light. But one of the ways I will focus on tonight is receiving the sent word. Many people don't know, when the word of God comes to you, it doesn't only come to illuminate you, it comes to birth what you need. There are two things about the word of God. Number one, the word of God is creative. Number two, the word of God sustains what is created. In John chapter 1 verse 1, it said, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. It said, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Now, when people receive the word of God, they think it's a theological fact. That's why they don't have miracles. But for those who have understanding, when the word of God is coming, they know that the power to create everything needed is what is coming. So as they catch it, they see it as their answer. You may not have money, but you walk into a place and God says, you will prosper. The moment you hear it, you know that everything needed for your prosperity, from wisdom to favor to human connection to opportunities, is all encapsulated in that word. So as you catch it, you can bank it. That is your wealth. Because in the word is encoded the capacity for creation. And the word does not stop there. It said the word sustains all things. That's what the Bible said. Hebrews 1 verse 3. It said he sustains all things by the word of his power. So when the word creates, the word sustains it. Why do you think the earth is still here? Listen, nothing can destroy this world. They do research. They talk about global warming. They talk about emissions. They are just being scientific. Do you know how many gases are in space? Earth. There is a height you go to in space. Earth will become like dust. There are over 500 galaxies in the Milky Way. And the Earth is just one planet. Do you get what's going on here? And then one scientist sits somewhere and they say, too many gases. See, no gas can destroy this world. If God doesn't want this world anymore, he will come and destroy it. Because it was the word that created it. The word will sustain it, come what will. This system can't go down. Anything God, the Bible says, whatsoever he doeth abides forever. If it is the word that created it, forget it. It will last forever. And so when you want to walk in miracles, what you do is to search for the sent word. The moment the sent word comes, you may not understand everything, but you know your prison door is about to open. The Bible said in Psalm 105 verse 17, it said, he was locked in chains and bound in fetters. It said, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. And the king sent for. How did the king come into the equation? Because when the word comes, the connections that you need begin to realign. Somebody will tell somebody about you, and they will tell somebody about what you do, and somebody will connect somebody to connect to you. All of that is a complex algorithm provoked by the life that is in the world. They caught it, and the answer came from the palace. How can a prisoner access a king? Somebody that he begged 2 years ago, please remember me. All of a sudden he woke up and said, there is an interpreter of dream. You think he remembered him? No. The word woke him up at the right time. Because if he said it 2 years ago, it wouldn't have worked. Who are you, a butler, to come and tell the king to invite somebody? You don't have such rights.
But he gave it at the opportune time. The king was troubled. And God was the one that put that fear in the king. So that when the guy shows up and speaks, he becomes the answer of Egypt. And after he spoke, the king said, inasmuch as God have given you this wisdom, he said, there is no one in your class. According to your word, shall the nation be ruled. He said, nobody shall be greater than you in this kingdom except me. And it's by reason of the throne. Because words came. Psalm 107 verse 20 said, he sent his word and delivered them from all their affliction. When he comes, he doesn't address one thing. He addresses all things. And if there's something that needs to be recreated, it will be recreated. If there's something that needs to be repaired, it will be repaired. And if it is recreated, it will be sustained forever and ever. That's the revelation. Look at Luke chapter 5, from verse 3 to verse 5. Fishermen who were trained to fish, and they did it all their lives, toiled all night and found nothing. Jesus showed up and said, I want to use your boat to preach. The first thing is that they'll be angry. Are you okay? Is this a platform? Is it a puppet? But when they saw the crowd that came, they said, okay, maybe this is an important person. Who knows? Let's just respect him because of the crowd following him and hear what he has to say. And when Jesus finished talking, they now shifted from anger to awe. They were marveled. This man has wisdom. And Jesus wanted to do it even much more. He now said, launch into the deep for a great catch. The guy looked at him, sir, we know about ocean current. In fact, the best time to fish is at night. And we have done this thing for a lifetime. We are fishermen. This is our area. We know you spoke wisdom a moment ago. But this is our area. Oga, launch into the deep for a great catch. I'm not talking assumption. It's precision and assurance. He said, okay. See, we have toiled all night, but at thy word, we will go all the same. When they went and threw the net, that word they spoke, they thought they were hearing. That word went into the ocean and manipulated all the fishes, swimming this direction. And when they threw their net and they started pulling it, their faces sat down. What's going on here? They now invited their colleagues. And when the fish came out, they saw that what this man carries, if all we get from him is a net of fish, we are not wise. They left it and followed him. Until date, they are a wonder to their generation. Until the time that his word came. Listen, you need to have a different revelation of the word of God. The word of God does not just come to educate you. The word of God comes to create your word. And the word of God comes to sustain your word. If you don't have that revelation, you will not have a miracle. Jesus went to the man that was at the pool of Bethesda. He was there for 38 years. I'm not looking for facts. Will thou be made whole? And the man said, I've been here for 38 years. I've missed 1,000 opportunities. When the water is there, nobody is there to carry me. We are not talking about opportunities. We are not talking about human connection. I know you don't know anybody to help you. I know you missed all the opportunity. But this is the word of life talking. Will thou be made whole? And the moment he spoke, affliction of 38 years ended. Listen, the moment you catch the word, and you know the errand of the word, your life will change. One word can be more important than 30 human connections. One word can be more important than 25 opportunities. One word can be more important than all your relationship in a palace. Because when the word comes, even if it's not there, the word will create. And after the word creates, the word sustains. Many people understand the Bible because they can explain the English language, but they don't have revelation of the word because they don't know the weight. So when you say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, they are explaining it cognitively. That means God has a son. That means God gave his son. And if God gave his son, that means our sins are forgiven. But for those who know the weight of the word, see the way Paul interpreted that scripture in Romans 8:32. If he did not withhold his son, but gave him for us, then he has already given us all things. That's how people of understanding interpret the word. So when God speaks, all they see is their answer. Do you have revelation? I know you can interpret scripture based on your understanding of the language, but do you have a revelation of the errand of scripture? That's what makes for miracles. If the word of God goes forth, be healed,
How do you respond to it? Somebody can be interpreting "be healed" as it means infirmity go away. But another person who has revelation will catch it and stand up and begin to do what he couldn't do before. Because as far as he's concerned, my creation has come. My sustenance has come. They are two different people. You want to walk in miracles? You want to receive miracles? You must have a different revelation of the word. The word is not just something that makes sense. The word is the power to create. The word is the power to sustain. So when it comes beyond the cognitive interpretation, that is your answer. And the moment you can see the word as your answer, your miracle is sure. Sit down for a moment. Anybody you see working miracles, this is the revelation they have. And so when they are going through crisis, you are not looking for a long message. They are looking for one word. When you are talking, they are blessed by your English. They are blessed by your explanation. But they are looking for one word. The moment that word comes, they catch it. They've gotten their answer. They can learn what you taught later and apply it for life. But for their answer, that thing they caught has become their answer. Because the word is creative. The word sustains. This is the best channel for routing miracles. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 to 17, the Bible says, when the evening was come, he said, Jesus showed up and they brought all that were sick, according as it was prophesied by Isaiah the prophet. Himself took away our infirmities. And the Bible said, Jesus came and healed them by his word. Whatever it was that he spoke to them, it was not about the English or Aramaic explanation. It's about the power that he came with. So the people knew that what he's saying is for answer, not for education. They can be educated in the process, but what he's saying has the power for answer. It's just like you go to a nation somewhere, and then you don't really understand the language so well, but you have problem, and somebody shows up and looks at you and speaks in that language and says, no, this guy looks innocent, let him go. Maybe all you heard is innocent, but at the end of the day, they say go. So if you understood what he said, it will educate you. But what you need at that moment is not education. It's go. It's go you are looking for. And so all your faith when he's talking is for the chains to be open. You are behind bars. It's go you are looking for. So the moment he's talking, what you want to hear is, am I going? Am I going? In discipleship, you can grow by learning. But when it has to do with miracle, you must understand that the word is answer. If you don't have the revelation that the word is answer, you will never receive a miracle. Can I shock you? Many people sitting here can teach a complete sermon on healing, but most of them are sick. Because they can explain the theology, but they don't have the revelation that that word is the answer. And so when God wants to visit a people, he changes their orientation. He changes their mindset. And so you discover it's not how much you know, it's how much you can receive. That's where your answer lies. And tonight, I came to tell you that the first revelation you need to have about the word is that the word is the answer. Before you go into the cognitive understanding that makes for growth, remember I began by telling you that God is growing you. But why God is growing you? God is still working miracles in your life. Understanding the explanation of the word grows you. But when it has to do with miracles, you must understand that the word is the answer. So the moment the word comes and you know it's the answer, your approach will be different. You will not hear it and nod and say, this is good preaching. You will hear it and catch it and say, my answer has come. They are two different things. It's a revelation that makes for walking in miracles. Number two, second channel of walking in the miraculous is faith. Hebrews 11, verse 11. You know, one of the challenges I discovered, we relate with God and the Word of God the same way we relate with biology and psychology and philosophy and chemistry. That's why the results we get are oriented in that order. There is a way you need to approach the things of God. See, the things of God are higher than the things of men. You will be shocked that everybody sitting here already has enough faith to raise the dead. But there is something wrong with their understanding of faith. And so, most times, the labor of the Holy Spirit is to help your orientation so that that thing you have, you will see it differently. You can have a gun and you will think the gun, or maybe a sword that is in the rack, you can have it and you will think it's a walking stick. And while you are under attack, you will throw it away and run. Because all the while you had a weapon, but you thought it was a walking stick. So when God wants to help you, that thing you are carrying, He will show you its potentials. And so even when we are talking about faith tonight, is to help you understand the potential of the faith that you carry. Look at what the Bible said here. It said, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. And she was delivered of a child when she was past the age, because, see the response of her faith, she judged him faithful that promised. So in this context, faith is not just a religious disposition. Faith in this context is actually an action you take based on understanding. So the moment God promised Sarah, she put away her anxiety and said, this one that spoke is faithful. It no longer matters how old I am. It no longer matters if I can no longer bear child. This one that spoke is faithful. And because she judged God faithful, she found rest. It was in that action that the power to bring forth came alive. That means faith has the power, the potential to generate power. But it's how you approach it that determines what faith generates. She judged him faithful that promised. So I'm no longer looking at my womb. I'm no longer looking at my age. I just want to believe that what he said is able to perform. And as she's saying that, a connection was routed to her barrenness. And instantly, there was a shift. Because she knew what to do with her faith. Many persons don't know what to do with their faith. Now, I've taught you on faith extensively. But the point I want to make now is that for you to receive miracles, you must begin to take actions from the standpoint of understanding. That is the sign that you are putting faith to work. Because you can have all the faith in the world, yet have no result. Romans chapter 12 verse 3, the Bible said, God dealt to every one of us, not some faith. He said, the measure of faith. So you have enough faith for a glorious life. The problem is that you don't know how to approach the faith that you have. You have the measure of faith. The measure of faith you require for a glorious life. The measure of faith you require for a healthy life. The measure of faith you require for a prosperous life. He said God gave it to you even before you asked. The problem is that you are not taking actions from the standpoint of understanding. Everybody that had results took action based on their faith. That was why they had the results they had. If you don't take those actions, you can never have those results. If you study the story of the woman with the issue of blood, that's one very unique story that brings out the picture very clearly. Mark 5, 25 to 34. Hear what the Bible says. I want to show you why most of us don't experience miracles. And then we are calling what is not the problem, the problem. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Follow. And had suffered many things of many physicians. And had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Go to next verse. It said, when she had heard of Jesus, see her action. She heard about Jesus. That means she heard that this man touched people who were sick, they were healed. This man spoke to the dead, they came back to life. This man spoke to the deaf, they heard him. This man spoke to the blind, they saw. She didn't join
in any argument. Immediately she heard, she took action from the standpoint of what she heard. What did she do? The Bible said she came behind in the press and tore his garment. Go to verse 28. It says, for she said, she had an understanding. If what they said about this man is true, then if I take any action, it will produce result. It said, for she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. Do you see that although the disciples of Jesus saw more miracles than this woman, but this woman exercised more faith than them? So it's not about how much of faith you have. It's about how much of the exercise of faith that you have. But you see, many people don't process. Some of you, the miracles you've even had in your life already is enough to bet any other miracle you are looking for. 7 years ago, you had no money for school fees. The invisible finger of God appeared from nowhere, connected the dots together. School fees came out, you graduated. Today, you want to enter a business. You say, I am stranded. And God is looking at you. Have you not understood anything from the actions of the past? Few years ago, they told you, this is your stomach challenge, we kill you. 5 years later, everything vanished. You didn't even know what you did about it. And then something else confronts you, and all you can say is that, I am hopeless. And then the angels are wondering, how come men are so spiritually unintelligent? Does the things that happen in the past not suggest to you that nothing in the future can conquer you? Because in the past, when you had no power of your own, you were sustained. Is it now that you have grown in God that you'll be stranded? The woman heard something. And when she heard something, she didn't relax. She processed it. And on the basis of what she processed, she determined the action that she was going to take. That means you are the one who determines when and how you receive your miracle. She didn't say, I will go and tell him to pray for me. I may not have what it takes to get that level of protocol. All I need to do is to touch. And do you see what happened? Even Jesus was not ready for her. When she touched Jesus, he turned. Who touched me? Who touched me? Peter looked at Jesus and said, sir, people are thronging you. They are not touching you. They are pressing you on every side. They are almost molesting you, sir. Are you talking touch? Everybody is touching you. He said, no, virtue went out of me. Somebody touched me differently. Somebody touched me from the place of understanding. So when a man has understanding of faith, everybody can come for a miracle service. When he's coming, he said, the God that paid my school fees will give me a job. The God that saw me through the university will establish me in life. The God that saw me through sickness will also promote me. That's how you apply faith. So when you come to the miracle service, even before the man of God shows up, you have collected something. Virtue left me. Somebody took power from me. I didn't give it, she collected it. That means even when God is not talking to you, you can draw. It's your choice to draw, because the power is more than enough. And when this woman did this thing, others learned from it. If you now study Luke 6:19, the Bible said many touched him and virtue left him and healed them all. So this woman created a new pathway of receiving from God. She became a patriarch. She taught a generation that it's not all the time you say, God help me. If God is passing touch, you can collect as much as you want. The world is catalambano. So there is a faith that takes action based on understanding. So I can be coming for the miracle service. If I come, even if the pastor changes his mind and says, sorry, today is no longer miracle service, it's too late. I've already predetermined in my mind that the moment I enter that auditorium, my status will change. I've already predetermined in my mind that the moment the worship begins, I will receive something. So the thing has left the realm of the pastor. He no longer controls it. I have the power through understanding of how faith works to draw from God. It's not every manifestation that depends on God. God has made too many things available for the taking. But you need to know. See, why do you think we tell people about the wonders of God? It's not to increase your knowledge about what God can do. It's to show you channels to take action. They told you that somebody was blind. He kept shouting. He wouldn't let God rest. Son of David, have mercy. Son of David is a channel. Now you have understanding. So you too, if you have problem, in the morning you wake up. Father, I receive answer. Father, in the afternoon. Father, in the night. Father, in the midnight. Father, a point will come. God will say, what do you want? So the reason they told you about the story of Bartimaeus is to show you how to route faith. He said the things that were written aforetime, Romans 15 verse 4, they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. That's why the stories are written. They told you Cornelius, his prayer and almsgiving became a memorial. God encountered him. Really? My God. In the next 6 months, God will receive enough. You wake up in the morning, makaparaka, rakapatakapatoa, regetada. When you finish, you give an offering. You pray in the afternoon, you give an offering. You pray in the night, you give an offering. You pray the next day, God will show up. You have opened the gate of Cornelius. What do you want? When you shout, you have opened the gate of Bartimaeus. What do you want? When you touch, you have opened the gate of the woman with the issue of blood. What do you want? Because all of those things teaches you how to walk the corridor of faith. You are not reading the Bible to become a theologian. You are reading the Bible to understand how to put your faith to work. So faith are actions taken from the standpoint of understanding. That's why the Bible said in James 2:19, he said, faith without works is dead. He said, oh ye vain man, knoweth not that faith without works is dead. He said, thou believest that there's only one God, thou doest well. He said, the devil also believes and trembles. And in verse 26, he said, as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Many people, their faith is dead. Why do you think we share testimonies here? The Bible said the testimony of the righteous is just, making wise the simple. So somebody tells you, I fasted for 3 days and something happened. Fasting is the gate. You check the Bible. Is it correct? You enter your own. Somebody told you, I showed mercy to somebody and I obtained mercy. Oh, is that true? You check the Bible. If it's consistent, you show mercy. These are keys. So when we testify, apart from the fact that God is glorified, we are showing you channels. That understanding fortifies you now to take action. So when you are taking action, there is a basis. That's why the Bible said, through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive, because the Jordan faithful that promised. So there is a basis. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 9, he said, he sent his word to Jacob, a lighting upon Israel. You see somebody say, I have received my miracle. When the apostle was speaking, I believed. What? Me too, I believe. I cannot live here without my own. There's an understanding now. It becomes a basis for action. That's the kind of faith that engenders miracles. You ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh.
You are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne.
You reign. Study your Bible. Many times God will give instructions to prophets. Everything he does with them is they write it as a memorial. Another generation will come that these things will become the basis for believing. So Jehoshaphat dared to believe God because of the wonders that he did in the past. Even Gideon, when they were in crisis, he said, where is the God of our fathers that did wonders? That was the only thing he was hanging on. Is he not the same God? If he did it for the fathers, he can do it now. And that has been the pattern. So Paul came in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 13. 4 verse 13. He said, according as it is written, they believe and have spoken. We, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. 2 Corinthians 4:13. we having the same spirit. And he said, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hear this. Sometimes when I'm going out for a meeting, you know what intoxicates me? Is it not the same way Paul went out? Is this not the same way Smith Wigglesworth went out? Is this not the same way A.A. Allen went out? Is this not the same way Oral Roberts went out? Why will I go out and my case will be different? And I say, Father, show yourself strong. And as you stand there, sometimes the moment you start talking, the same thing that came to their meeting will appear in your own. Because God is not a respecter of man. If he did it for one, he can do it for all. It's a system of routing miracles. Take action based on understanding. It's the key for the miraculous. Sit down. Is listening to me now. You are telling yourself, Lord, if one person will be healed in this service, if it's because of this message, if it's because of this atmosphere, if one person is healed, me too, I must be healed. Because I also believe, I'm also under the same atmosphere, I'm also hearing the same message. I can't live here without a miracle. There is an understanding, and so you take action. And you'll see the hand of God manifest heavily on your life. These things are not hard. God makes them easy so that everybody will be blessed. You don't need to be a doctor of theology to receive miracle. In fact, sometimes when you do too much theology, it becomes difficult. Are you following? Sit down for a moment. They are simple channels for routing miracles. Miracles are real. They are possible. And you can walk in them every day. Israel walked in miracles every day for 40 years. They were eating manna from heaven every day for 40 years. They walked in health every day for 40 years. Their clothes grew with them every day for 40 years. The Shekinah was moving every day for 40 years. So miracle is not for once in a while. Until you mature to control it, you continue working in it. Some people look at some of us and say, this is your season. I say, this is not my season. He said, the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter. We will remain here until we leave this world. Don't think we are about to go up and come down. I'm not MMM. Which one is this is your season? What you see today is nothing compared to what you will see tomorrow. So if you think you have seen anything, wait until I come out tomorrow. It will be from glory to glory, from power to power, from wisdom to wisdom, from grace to grace. Somebody shout! Come on! Manda, that is faith. You have an understanding, so you take action. This is the same friend I was telling you about last week. He imagine, my friend that I pray for is the one that showed me a scripture. He said he read the scripture that turned his head. He said, and Isaac began to prosper and continued to prosper. I said, Genesis 26. I know the scripture, but you have brought it alive. Began to prosper, continued to prosper until he became exceedingly great, until the Philistines envied him. I said, that is my story. If you think yesterday was glorious, come today. And if you think today is good, check me out tomorrow. It's from glory to glory, from power to power. Because now I have a basis. And because I have a basis, I am bold to say, my tomorrow will be better than my today. My today is better than my yesterday. And it will continue like that. I'm not about to go down. I'm not about to fall. I'm just getting started. It's going to be one level of ascension to another level of ascension by the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't be like Job, that God provided a hedge all around him, yet he was afraid. Until the devil took advantage of that fear, and he came and said, "The thing I fear have befallen me." Don't be like that. Rather, be like David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Just be like that. Even when you are in the middle of your enemies, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Not some days, all the days. Be like David. It's from glory to glory. So when the devil comes, tell him, "You made a mistake. You should have come yesterday. I'm stronger today than I was yesterday. If you came yesterday, maybe you would have had a chance. Today you have failed. Because now I understand that I'm more than a conqueror. Now I understand that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Now I know that the path of the just man is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Now I know there is no enchantment against Jacob. There is no divination against Israel. For the Lord God, the shout of the king, is in the midst of them. Now I know that every enchantment of the devil shall be turned to foolishness. I know that though the enemy may come in, but like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. Now I know. Glory! You couldn't kill me. When I didn't know, you couldn't conquer me. Now I know. You made a mistake. The Bible says, "Surely they shall gather." He said, "But they shall not be by me." And he said, "Every tongue that rises against you." So when they gang up against you, you are laughing. Oh, they have made a mistake. Every tongue that rises against you is saying judgment. Thou shalt condemn. When I lift my hand and I say glory to God, something hits the account. And you start getting bigger, better, brighter, and more glorious. Because that's your story. I prophesy over someone. Shift to the next level. In the name of Jesus. God. See, when these things saturate your spirit, sometimes you are lying on your bed and you are just laughing. Manda koba rakadava kina parak. There's no dull moment with you. Every day the word of God is just charging you up. Sometimes you wake up, you dress up, you stand in front of the mirror, you say, "See the man the Lord has helped." Ayaya. Marega bakatoria bagada. You stand in front of the mirror, you pack your hair backward, you say, "See the lady the Lord has helped. I'm the glory of God. I'm shining with the light of His glory."
Don't let the devil manipulate you until you get into depression. Even when you are not doing well, don't go and lie down and say, "Hey, I'm finished." No. He said, "Though the righteous man falls seven times, he will rise again." He said, "There is hope for a tree that is cut up. At the scent of water, it will rise again." What is the scent of water? The Holy Ghost, the Word of God. And so I may be down, I lie down, I wake up. And said, "This is the righteous man rising up from his fall and move from glory to glory. Nothing can cut me off." That's how you live your life. It is taking action based on understanding. It is the faith that provokes the miraculous. Hear me. Every one of you listening to me tonight, you will receive a miracle. Nobody is permitted to walk out of this meeting, whether on ground or online, without receiving a tangible miracle. I prophesy over you. Every door of opportunity before you opens now. I prophesy over you. Every challenge in your life goes down now. In the name of Jesus. Everybody hearing me now, the devil suggested to you that you have come to the end of the road. I prophesy, my God shall make a new way for you. He said, God shall make a way where there is no way. Even if the road has ended, in the name of Jesus, by the power of prophecy, I decree a new way is open for you. That thing God told you, and it looks as if it's too late, this year is over, you will have double for your trouble. From today, every day, receive a miracle. And everything that is meant for this year that you have not received, I decree and I declare, take delivery of it now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Sit down for a moment. Manda Paracados. Can you prophesy to yourself for 1 minute? See, you are charged. You are charged. It's the out of their bellies that flow rivers of living waters. Something is coming out of you now. Rivers, rivers, rivers. I may not know everything you need. Can you declare? Maki baraka, zeki barakano, barakata, zuza abakata gira, rakata datina sata. They told you, you will not give birth to a child, you will start with twins. They told you, you will not get married, your marriage will be the talk of the town. They told you, your ministry will fail, you will become a patriarch in your generation. They told you, your business will fail, you will sponsor many other business. I prophesy over you, everything in you dying, the power of resurrection comes upon it now. Arise, shine, your light is come, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise, shine. With such your grace, alive, aya, 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 Rafreto Safakara. Lila Paro Savakida. You see why the Bible said the just shall live by faith? You see why the Bible said we walk by faith, not by sensory perception. I've seen too much faithfulness of God to feel stranded, to feel depressed, to feel frustrated. No! 1,000 times no. My life is a wonder to my generation. Not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Father. This is just number 2. We need to step down a little so that I can complete this matter. I'm just charged. I'm charged. And usually when I'm charged like this, my words become creative. See, this is when you talk. Sometimes keep quiet and charge first. And when you are charged in your bedroom, you sit down, you begin to write commandments. You begin to write laws. And some of those words go into 5 years of your future. And then you are coming behind gloriously in majesty. And people are saying, oh, you are smart. You are a strategist. No, I created the future by talking in the right atmosphere.
Mandates have been given to the church once again. Powers have been given to the church once again. For the priest to be born, for the man to be, for the gate to be open, for the power to be taken. Ali, ali, yo, ali, yo, ali, yo, ali, ali, yo, oh, oh, ali, ali, yo, ali, yo, ali, ali, yo,
ali, yo, oh, oh. Hear this. Anybody expecting you to pay, we wait for a lifetime. My God, you are about to shine. Shine! Shine! Yeah. Let your life give glory to God in the name of Jesus.
To the church once again. Powers have been given to the church. For the priest to be born, for the power to be taken, for the gate to be opened, for the power to be taken. Ali, ali, yo! Ali, yo! Ali, yo! Ali, ali, yo!
Somebody shout! Sit down for a moment. There are channels for provoking the miraculous. Learn these things, master them, exercise yourself unto them, and let your life become a wonder to your generation. Number 3. Is the anointing. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now, he was around for 30 years. He didn't operate the miraculous. The moment the anointing came, the Bible said, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. When the anointing comes upon your life, God is with you. So the power of the anointing is God with you. So anything you are doing, you are no longer doing by your own strength. There is God behind you walking. So people may see you, they think it's what you are doing. What you are doing, you are a puppet. It's God walking behind the scene. The moment God encountered Moses, he said, drop your rod. The guy dropped it. It became a serpent. Take it up by the tail. That rod became the rod of God. What does that mean? God is with you. When Moses came before the Red Sea, stretch forth thy sword, thy rod. Rods don't part sea. But we saw what happened behind the sea. The Bible said with the blast of his nostrils. So anything you are doing in the natural, God is doing the corresponding in the supernatural. So the answers that you command is now different from what men do. And you know the beautiful thing? Jesus was not the only one anointed. He made sure he created that possibility for us as well. So when he redeemed us, he prepared us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So he told the disciples, Luke 24:49, tarry in Jerusalem. Something is coming upon you. He showed back again in Acts 1:8. He said, not many days from now, you shall receive what I received. Acts 10:38, he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. Acts 1:8, you shall be anointed.
with the Holy Ghost and with power. And in Acts 2 verse 4, it said when the day of Pentecost was surely come, he said they were together in the upper room, and suddenly they heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and the place where they were was filled with the Holy Ghost, and cloven tongues as of fire appeared on their head. Now see what happened. That was the day the Holy Ghost came into the earth to start his dispensation. Now he's no longer coming from heaven, he's already on earth. And so anybody that believes now, the moment you believe, you say, Lord, fill me with the Spirit, it comes upon you. And every one of us carries that anointing. In fact, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 27, he says you have an unction from the Holy Ghost. And that unction is in you, teaching you all things. So when you were born again, you were anointed within. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you speak in tongues, you are anointed upon. One of it transforms you to become like God. The other empowers you for a glorious life. So the reason we know God, the reason we become like God, is the anointing within that came at salvation. But the reason we receive miracles and do wonders is the anointing that comes upon us. So any believer who is born again, if you have not yet received the Holy Ghost, make sure you receive your own tonight. Because when the anointing comes upon your life, it becomes the gate for the miraculous. Number one, it subdues every devil. He said when Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, what did he do? Healing all that were oppressed. You stop the government of darkness. And that's not all the anointing does. In Isaiah 10:27, he said the yoke shall be broken. He said the burden shall be lifted off your shoulders because of the anointing. So the anointing came to remove burdens. Anything that is a yoke, anything that is a burden, because the anointing is upon your life, it will give way. So all you need to do is to stir the anointing. The anointing came on an errand of empowering you to advance kingdom, and an errand of empowering you to live in liberty. So you cannot tolerate any yoke anymore. You cannot tolerate anybody. When you notice there is something on your life that is frustrating your existence, shut your door. And you know what tears your anointing. Me, I live a fasted life so that I'll be volatile. If you like, meet me traveling. Don't joke. If I shake like this, it will overflow immediately. Because I know my own operate by fasting. I need to be light. So people who live around me know. And then I spend a lot of time with worship. Especially songs that are like hymns. As I'm hearing it, after a while, the thing starts bubbling. It starts bubbling. It starts. I know there's about to be. Sometimes I leave people and go somewhere. My, the thing you will feel it rising inside, rising. When it comes up like that, people who are around you, sometimes you overflow on them. My friends know. I'll be gisting with them. I will sense the anointing. I'll just tell you, car. It's like you have a cow. If I say it, the anointing flows. Somebody can sit with me and say, "Don't worry. I'm seeing that in the next 1 month, this thing will happen." I'm just the flow is it intoxicates you. You know, it's simply not drunk with wine, wearing its excess, but be filled with the Spirit. See, when I'm hearing worship songs, a point comes, especially when they start drawing it. As they are drawing it, the fountain begins to rise on my inside. And so when it starts happening, I add tongues. Baka, Liga, Barakos, Nazakaya. Those kinds of tongues are not the common one. You're praying a prayer meeting. Boko, Boko, no. You are swimming in the river. Because it's the rhythm of the anointing you follow. There are times when the thing is heavy. My lakaya. Hizo zavakani bakado. Purwada. Hila. As you are talking, after a while, you start prophesying. Laws come out of that realm. Because there is something on your life. And this is not for an apostle. This is not for a prophet. It's for everyone that believes. We were all baptized to walk in the Spirit. The Bible said, God gave him the Spirit without measure. And when it came to us, it said that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, it dwells. That Spirit lives here. I am God's address. I'm God's embassy. When you want to find God, trust me. You will find him. And I will not keep God on the inside. Many times I will shake so that God can appear. Many times I will stare so that God can overflow. And when God begins to overflow, miracles begin to happen. That's why Jesus came into the temple in Luke 4:18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. The moment you are anointed, things begin to happen. And if you are baptized in the Spirit, you have more than enough anointing for any miracle. The fivefold ministry is not for miracles. The reason we do miracles is because most times believers are not ready to do the work. The Bible said in Ephesians 4:11, it said God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So it is you that should do crusades. The reason we have to go do crusades is because most of you are not ready. You are the one to raise the dead. Our job is to coach you, teach you what you carry, and teach you how to use it. So when the body of Christ begins to mature, you will hear that a stadium is packed. They say, who is that? They say, it's Sister Martha. Not Prophet Peter. Not Apostle Nathaniel. They say, a village is experiencing revival. They say, what happened? They say, Sister Mary went there. And when she went there, something began in her parlor. After a while, the king was healed. And then the whole village gathered. Something happened. They say, what happened? They say, wisdom went there. Because Philip went to Samaria. He preached Christ there. The city was full of joy. Not the apostles. It was when revival started that Peter came to bring order and government. But it takes the anointing. See, you carry something. I was teaching them on Tuesday. I told them, when you start growing in this thing, then you start finding signs. Because when you stir your anointing, you will discover that it comes with sickness. Sometimes you will notice that your hand becomes numb. And every time your hand is numb, sicknesses are addressed. Sometimes you notice something's moving on your head. And when something's moving on your head, anything you say happens. So what do you do? Mahiba, kakara. You stir yourself until that movement begins. When that movement begins, you prophesy to a business. In the name of Jesus, walk. When that movement begins, you prophesy to a family. I rebuke that, because now you know how to stir the anointing to overflow. And every one of us carries the anointing. I don't know the flavor of your own anointing, but I know mine. The one me I carry provokes favor. The one me I carry provokes speed. The one me I carry provokes healing. It provokes miracles. And it provokes word of knowledge. So many times when I want the anointing to work, I go to my closet and I do what I do to cause it to overflow. Because it's a channel for miracles. That's why I teach you. I say Christianity does not begin and end in church. Church is a training center. Christianity is life in the spirit. He said, and Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. He said, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. He said, holy men of God speak as they were carried by the Spirit of God. Christianity is a walk in the Spirit until the Spirit begins to carry you. And one of the ways it carries you is through the anointing on your head. Ezekiel said, I was in the Spirit in the 30th day, on the fourth month, in the fifth day, by the river Kabar. And I saw visions of God. He was carried in the Spirit. On another time, he said, the Spirit of the Lord took me by the lock of my hair and carried me to a dry bone, a mountain of dry bone. And he said, truly the bones were dry. And the anointing began to converse with him. Mortal man, can these bones live? He said, only thou knowest. And he said, prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. And he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. And dry bones became an exceeding great mountain. Army. You carry something, sir. You are not empty. Don't let any devil deceive you. You carry something. You may honor ministers, I do. You may honor patriarchs, I do. But I know I carry something, sir. I carry something. God has put something here, and I'm daring to stir that thing. And the more that thing grows, the more I dominate. The more it grows, the more I impart my generation. I carry something. You carry something. In addition to pastoral covering, in addition to prophetic direction, stir the river. Jesus said in John 7:38, it's the day that believe out of their bellies, not out of the belly of your pastor, not out of the belly of your prophet, out of their bellies shall flow not one river, not two rivers, not three rivers, many rivers of living waters. You carry something. And when you allow that to flow, you will see miracles until you'll be shocked. I was watching some of the videos and uploads of my brother Kings. When he was here, he will sit here, come and take an announcement. This week, we want 20 souls. We want 2,000 souls. When he entered Cameroon,
an apostle was not there. He went back and found what was in his belly. And today, he posted a picture. 15 years of blindness, eyes open. 5 years of deafness, ears open. And you'll see him with white suit. In the name of Jesus. Because now he is awoken. I carry something. I can't call apostle to Yaounde. I can't call apostle to Bamenda. I am the apostle in Bamenda. I am the apostle in Yaounde. So when a case comes, he finds his anointing.
Rivers. Rivers of living water. Out of my belly, sir.
Out of my belly.
Rivers of living water.
The Bible said, women received their dead back to life. That was a generation where women were not even permitted to come close to the altar. They were not part of the priesthood, but some of them insisted. I carry something. And they brought the dead back to life. If you allow the anointing on your life to find expression, you'll be shocked. Don't let me fast. Don't let me worship. Don't let me pray. And don't let me give. One of the things that stems my anointing is generosity. The more I'm giving, the more the chambers are opening. The chambers are opening. If I pray for 4 hours, I'm volatile. I become like naked wire. Because there is something here. And it's not because I'm an apostle. It's because I am baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so everybody hearing me who is baptized in the Holy Ghost can command dimension. Do you know how the Bible describes us? It says you are a city set upon a hill. Every one of us has the capacity of a city. It's the anointing. That's the bandwidth of that river. It can flow until it takes a city. And you will operate like a system and like a tribe. Sit down. Channels of routing miracles. Everybody possesses these things I share. It's not a prerogative of ministers. It's for every believer. Number 4 is the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says there's no name under heaven given by which men must be saved. There's one name. It's the name of Jesus. And they showed us how to walk that name. In Acts 3, from verse 6 to verse 8, the Bible said they went to the temple at the hour of prayer to pray. They had not even prayed. But they were conscious that they carried a weapon. And they saw a man at the beautiful gate. Jesus too went through that temple. But you see, there are some things that are left for you. Because the Bible said daily they brought that man there to beg. You know, people wake up and say, if it's Jesus, everybody must be healed. You are joking. Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda. He healed one man and left. Because there are times when the faith of people draw God to them. And there are other times when your faith draws you to God. You don't look for God, you will not receive some things. And it's not all the time God is drawn to you. That's why we are encouraged to seek Him. The man was at the beautiful gate begging every day. But Peter showed up. And he said, silver and gold have I none. He said, but such as I have, I give you. That means everything you have is unlocked by a key called the name of Jesus. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The man didn't stand up. Peter was too sure of what he carried. He held him and pulled him up. What I'm saying is not fire and error. I know it. Rise up and walk. You can't rise up. He held him, pulled him up. And the Bible said the man was limping and walking, limping and walking and giving God praise. When they entered the temple, in verse 16 of that scripture, Peter turned to the people. Why are you looking at me as though it's because of my stature or my holiness that this man is walking? It's because of my faith in the name of Jesus. They knew there was something about the name of Jesus. You and I have watered down the name of Jesus to be a religious cliche. So we call Jesus at the end of our prayer, or we call Jesus when there is emergency, without understanding of the power invested in that name. In Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5 to verse 9, after Jesus passed the test of obedience, the Bible said God gave him a name that is above every other name. He said that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, there are two things about that name. The first thing about the name of Jesus is the salvation component. That's in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So he paid the price to save his people. The second thing about that name is Lordship. That Jesus will be Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So when you call that name, it causes everything to bow. And if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, it said every name that is named, be it in heaven, on earth, or in the world beneath, there has been a verdict that the moment the name of Jesus is passed, every knee goes down. Because he is the culmination of the revelation of the Godhead. Before Jesus came, different dimensions of God were credited into different names. Because that's one of the ways you encounter the dimensions of God. God locks up his dimensions in names. When he met Abraham, he said, I am El Shaddai. So if you need provision, call El Shaddai, you have provision. So he credited his provision to a name. That's how God worked with the fathers. Too many dimensions. So he littered them in different names. So they have Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Sharon, Jehovah Sabaoth, Jehovah Ra, Jehovah Sikeno. They have all of those names representing different dimensions. But the point came, the names became too much. You will need to go to a school of theology and have PhD before you access some dimension. And God wanted to save his people. So what he did was that he aggregated the totality of the Godhead into one being. And the Bible said in Colossians 2:9, he pleased the Father that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in Jesus bodily. So the moment Jesus comes, the totality of the dimensions of God comes. And for you to be able to access that totality, he now gave you the right to call the name that represents the totality of God. So when you say Jesus, you have called Elohim. You have called Jehovah Nissi. You have called Jehovah Shammah. You have called Jehovah Jireh. You have called Jehovah Ra. You have called Jehovah Sabaoth. Everything about God is there. The most dangerous weapon on earth is the name of Jesus. The most powerful weapon is the name of Jesus. And only the Christian has the right to use it. That's why the Bible said, no one speaking by the Spirit can say Jesus is accursed. And it said, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. So anybody who uses the name of Jesus as Lord has come under the covering of God. It's a ticket given to us for our insurance. And this thing was promised and prophesied before now. In Proverbs 18:10, it said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It said, the righteous run therein and they are saved. What is the name of the Lord? Jesus. Jesus. So when I say Jesus, I invoke all of the dimensions of God. If I need provision, he can produce it. If I need protection, he can produce it. If I need promotion, he can produce it. This is why when he commissioned the disciples in Mark 16 verse 15, he said, anyone that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And in verse 17, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Not outside my name. In my name, cast out devils. In my name, lay hands on the sick, they will recover. In my name, speak in new tongues. In my name, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. In my name, if you walk upon serpents and scorpions, you shall by no means be hurt. Because that name carries the fullness of God. And it has been given to us as a weapon of victory. In fact, when we carry that name, signs and wonders follow us. And so when a believer is not walking in signs and wonders, it's a wonder in heaven. There are too many resources available to the believer. If you don't have revelation of the word, At least you should carry an anointing. Stir that anointing and walk in it. And if you are not carrying an anointing, or you are not walking in an anointing palpably, at least have faith. And if you don't have faith, carry the name of Jesus. It's a weapon. You may not need full military training to use a gun. So I don't need to be a soldier. You can train somebody for 10 minutes or 20 minutes and they can at least fire some shots. So God reduced it to a point where even a child can say, in the name of Jesus, and things will happen. Because when you carry a gun, your age doesn't matter. If your son of 5 years carries your gun and faith, you say, wait, put it back, come there, go that way. Don't say, if you cry, cry. He said, daddy, look at this. Put it, don't. What are you doing? You will come. You know he can kill you. That one is not about strength. It's not about stature. So anybody who carries the name of Jesus, the devil is afraid of him. Even if he gave his heart to Christ yesterday. You can be a one-day-old Christian. That name makes you a wonder. A wonder. That's why the Bible said, whatsoever you do, do in the name of the Lord. And it didn't stop there. He said, put on the Lord Jesus. Make no occasion for the flesh. Wear it. Let it become your garment. So that when you show up, even when you don't say in the name of Jesus, you come in that name. Devils know. When I stand up from my house and I'm going out, I don't think about my certificate. I don't think about my bank account. The Bible said a man's value is not in the multitude of his possession. The thing that gives me audacity is not what I have in the account. It's not how well I've studied. It's the fact that I'm clothed with Jesus. I have an assurance that I can't be stranded in this life. Worst case scenario, I look for a moment and I say, Jesus, have mercy. Jesus, save me. Jesus, intervene. And something must happen. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, for the glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides with us still, and to all who will trust and obey. What a glory He shed on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and to all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for the soul of the way, to be happy in Jesus, for to trust and obey.
Dare to believe the word of God. The Bible said they looked unto Him and their faces were radiant and they were not ashamed. You can't believe the truth of the word and be stranded. Listen, the word is more real than your experience. Your experiences may go haywire. Stand on the word. The word will correct your experiences. This is how it has been. This is how it is. And this is how it will always be. These things will never fail. Finally, the key for operating in miracles is obedience. And when I say obedience, I'm not saying go and obey all the laws of Moses. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about obedience to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Ghost prompts you, if you want to see miracles, it may not be reasonable to your mind. Do it. Many times, people fail to operate in the miraculous because it doesn't make sense. Luke 5:3-5, where I read for you, the guys toiled all night. The same river. It doesn't make sense. It's waste. In fact, the best time was when they were toiling. When it was quiet. at night, the water was not troubled. You could determine the direction of the ocean waves. They knew where to sail from and to arrest every fish. They did that again and again and again. It didn't work. But Jesus said, launch into the deep for a great catch. And they said, we have toiled all night. We remember what we have done. We have tried our best. He said, nevertheless, at thy word. And when they obeyed, they were not stranded. If the Holy Ghost begins to prompt you, and you are a spiritual man, you know that that is where the answer is. No matter how silly it may appear. The Bible said the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And it said the weakness of God is stronger than men. When God gives you a command, gives you a prompting, gives you a signal, follow it. This is what the fathers of old knew. In 1 Kings 18, from verse 41 to 45, Elijah wanted rain to fall. After 3.5 years of drought, he kept praying. He said, go and check. He kept praying. At the seventh time, Elijah came and said, I saw something that looked like a fist of a man. He said, that is it. Go and tell the king, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. The guy calculated a little sign as a sound of abundance of rain because he had spiritual intelligence. That little sign in the spirit can overtake a generation. And true to his word, a heavy rain came and ended the drought. Most of you have violated too many signs. That's why you have not received miracles. But when God creates a system and a platform like this in a miracle service, is to help you receive regardless of the mistakes that you have made. And so anybody who made it this far, congratulations. Your miracle is now. Are you ready to receive? Are you ready? Rise up to your feet. Lift your hands toward heaven with excitement to take your miracle. Now, which of the channels should we apply? Now that you know, you want to use faith, or you want to use the anointing, or you want to use the name of Jesus, or you want to use... Let me explain something to you. If we want to use obedience, we are going to worship and pray until I pick a signal and we will ride on it. If we want to use faith, wherever you are standing, you will put your hand on your head and declare your miracle and receive it now. If we want to use the name of Jesus, we will make a decree now in the name of Jesus. And answers will happen now. See, I know this. It's not about me. It's about the truth of the word of God. So which channel do you want us to use? Okay, I'm hearing the name of Jesus and I'm hearing faith. If you are for... Now, as I say, you put your hand on your head. Some people are now afraid. If you are for faith, let me see your hand up. It's a good number. If you are for the name of Jesus, let me see your hand. Your name is higher. Sing for me, brother. Your let's celebrate love Jesus.
Love and beauty, endless word.
Nothing in this world
can satisfy.
Jesus, you are the cup that won't run dry.
Who is like you, King?
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth?
You are matchless love.
Matchless love and beauty in this world.
Nothing in this world.
Nothing in this world satisfies.
You are the cup, Lord.
You are the cup that won't run dry.
your hands toward heaven. Do you know why I teach you like this? I teach you like this so that you don't depend on me. You don't depend on men. You depend on God. I also teach you like this so that you can apply it in your family, in your businesses, and in your world. And have the same result you will have when you come to church. I'm going to speak very gently because we are not using the anointing. If we are using the anointing, we can touch the atmosphere a bit. But you say we should use the name of Jesus. So lower the keyboard, stop everything, just play quietly. We want to see the efficacy of the name of Jesus. Lift your hands toward heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every devil of sickness, every demon of frustration, every demon of wickedness frustrating the lives of your children. I decree now, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, let their holds break. Let the chains they have put on your children break now. I decree in the name of Jesus, every weight of sickness that they've carried into this meeting, let it be destroyed now. Everyone here with an ear challenge, I command that ear to be healed now in the name of Jesus. Everyone with an eye challenge, I command that eye condition in the name of Jesus be healed now. Everyone here with a growth in the body, a tumor of any sort, in the mighty name of Jesus, I decree, let that tumor dematerialize now. Everyone with an organ infection, kidney, liver, blood, lungs, skin, whatever organ that is challenged, in the name of Jesus, I declare, be healed now. Everyone here with pains in the body, help that one under the anointing. With pains in the body, all forms of arthritis, pain on the back, the chest, the leg, every form of pain, I command pains, go now in the name of Jesus. I speak over your businesses and your careers. Everybody working with his hands, whose progress is being limited by devils, by wicked men, or by systemic infringement, I decree in the name of Jesus, begin to prosper now. I speak over families, every family here under attack of demonic manipulations. In the mighty name of Jesus, receive your liberty now. I decree over ministries here present, every ministry struggling under the weight of human wickedness or demonic manipulations, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, devil. And I decree such ministries prosper now. Prosper now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So let afflictions give way now in the mighty name of Jesus. Let doors open now in the mighty name of Jesus. Let possibilities be created in your favor in the mighty name of Jesus. Every yoke, every burden, let it be lifted now in the mighty name of Jesus. Every pending promotion, every pending appointment, every pending contract, I decree, receive it now. Every pending opening, from visas to promotions in your workplaces, in the mighty name of Jesus, receive them now. And above all, everything limiting your intimacy with God, I command them by the power in the name of Jesus, they are taken away now. Everything that has challenged your convictions and your love for God, I decree in the name of Jesus, they give way now. Receive the full package of prosperity. Spirit, soul, body, relational, and circumstantial. Receive now in the name of Jesus. Somebody give the Lord the shout. Shout glory. Shout glory. Thank you, Father. We're out of time. We're out of time. Sometimes I prefer the anointing because I feel the anointing. So that's just a secret. I enjoy operating in the anointing, but this is a school. So we have to apply. Now check your bodies. Somebody has been healed of urinary tract infection. I'm seeing something around here, this middle row. Come. Somebody has been touched already. Urinary infection. Now, we'll just take a few testimonies. Check your bodies. Check your can. Some, anything you couldn't do before, do it now in the name of Jesus. Tell yourself, I'm doing it in the name of Jesus. Do it now. Do it in the name of Jesus. Do it. If we sing now, we will go out of time. We will go. Sometimes you say, you know, the presence of God. The Bible said, in the presence there is fullness of joy. So don't mind us when we are playing and dancing. You can't help it. The thing overwhelms you. Praise God. Now, how many of you have noticed a change? Can you wave at me? You have noticed a change. Wave, be bold. Be bold. Be bold. It is gone forever. It will come back. Don't be afraid. Can I see that hand up? All of you have noticed changes. Run to the front now. Put the devil to shame quickly. Come up to the altar. Come up to the altar. Come up to the altar. No, we are using the name of Jesus. So look for a song with the name of Jesus. I'm going to dance and praise him.
It doesn't matter what comes my way.
The greater one lives inside of me. His name is Jesus. I'm born a winner. More than victorious. I'm an heir of his kingdom. Filled with the Holy Ghost, no weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. The greater one lives inside of me. His name is Jesus.
I'm born a winner,
more than victorious. I'm an heir of his kingdom,
filled
with the Holy Ghost. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, 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 I'm more than. Come on, take it again.
I'm gonna, mama. No matter what comes my way, the greater one lives inside of me.
His name is Jesus.
I'm born a winner.
I'm born a winner.
More than victorious.
More than victorious. I rejoice. Lift your hands and celebrate Jesus.
I rejoice in him.
More than a conqueror. I rejoice in him. I rejoice in him. I rejoice in him. More than a conqueror. I rejoice in him. I rejoice. More than the conqueror. Oh, 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 oh,
more than the conqueror,
more than the conqueror,
more than the conqueror,
more than the conqueror,
more than the conqueror.
I'm gonna dance and praise him.
Hey.
It doesn't matter what comes my way. The greater one lives inside of me.
His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
I'm born a winner.
I'm born a winner. More than victorious.
I'm the end of his
I'm on heaven's kingdom.
Feed with the
Holy. Hear me. Most of you, majorly, the healings you will receive, the miracles you will receive tonight is in your relationships. There are some of you, hear this. The people that should come into your life to change your story, the devil has programmed it negatively. You keep missing them. And the ones that are in your life, you have crises that are irreconcilable. I decree and I declare, every relational miracle you need to change your story, receive it now. And for some of you, the attack is on the works of your hands. You walk like an elephant, you eat like an ant. Frustration, backwardness, struggle, you can't even explain it. Even when money starts coming, it looks like something is swallowing it up. I decree and I declare, in the name of Jesus, every circumstantial crisis is resolved now. Where's the brother that was healed of urinaries? What happened?
Sir, so he even wrote it down as one of his prayer points. He's
my
here.
God, what was the challenge? We'll just take three testimonies so that we go. There's no time. See, the goal of the miracle service is not to... We do more of miracles when we travel. But here we train you so that you will go and do it. That's why usually I spend more time teaching. These things I've taught you, don't let December finish until you apply it. In your own life and with the people around you, see the things that will happen. You will be shocked. Talk to me, sir.
Hallelujah. I was having urinary tract infection. I took all manner of drugs because a friend of mine is a pharmacist. He wrote all sorts of drugs for me. I did, and before I came here, this is my first time. I am enjoying the net. So I said, God, I want to be healed. And as I came, I wrote this prayer point right at home before I came here. And three of them, the second one, I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, let hepatitis B and UTI in my body be turned negative today by the mighty name of Jesus.
Did you have a challenge?
Yes, I do.
What was the challenge?
I'm feeling pain here inside because I'm a footballer. I don't usually run.
And does it affect you when you go to ease yourself?
Yeah. Before then, I usually, even yesterday when I was sleeping, like anytime I sweat a bit, it pains.
So what happened to you now? You can't feel the pain anymore. Give the Lord a big hand. Talk to me.
We have three persons here with ear condition.
Ear condition. What was the condition?
For about 8 years.
Pains in your right ears.
For 1 year.
For 1 year. What was the challenge? You don't hear well from the right ear and you have pains on the neck. What happened now? The pain is gone and it's permanent. You didn't plan to go back with the pain and God has touched you. Which other person? He couldn't hear with the left ear. Where's the more? You couldn't hear with this ear before? If they close this ear, you couldn't hear with this. Can you hear now? Are you sure? Let me close it. Give the Lord a big hand. That's the name of Jesus. One more testimony. Yes.
This brother had a growth in his anus.
You had a growth?
A growth. And there was an operation. But then the
You were operated upon.
Yes, sir. But then the growth returned.
The growth returned.
And right now, as soon as the word of the Lord came, he said he was seated there, and then the pain and the growth completely vanished and checked back to him.
And you are just looking like that. Come on! My God. Mama, what happened? Lower the volume.
For many years now, I've been having excruciating pain,
especially on your knee. Oh.
I can hardly walk. So
when you came for the service, you could hardly walk.
I used to walk. I
Where's the walking aid? Did you come to the service with the walking aid?
Yes.
What? I love those kinds of. I like those sticks. There's something about it. It reminds me of A.A. Allen. Even with this, you still struggled. These are souvenirs, by the way. You still struggled. What happened now? When the prayer started, the word had not come. Some things came on her. They held you. Your body was shaking. You can't feel the pain anymore. The pain has gone. Your give the Lord a shout. No, that's the wrong song. Ogunelu nelu.
Haya haya. Obuliwo belu. Chima obuliwo belu.
Haya haya. Obuliwo nelu.
Chima obuliwo belu. Haya haya. Obuliwo belu.
Haya haya. Aye aye.
Aye.
It is permanent in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you excited? Give the Lord a shout! You want me to hear this? Yes.
This young man came here with kidney infection for 3 years.
For 3 years?
Yes, so
what was the pain you were feeling?
But he said tonight while the prayer was ongoing, the pain has
stopped. Is the pain here connected to kidney? Here. What kind of thing is that? What did the doctors call it?
They said it's an infection that is
infection of the kidney.
Yes, urinary tract infection affected the kidney.
So you were feeling pains here.
Is there too much fasting? So when I fast a lot,
so apply wisdom. Apply wisdom. Sometimes you break. So you were feeling pains. What happened now? The pain has checked out. Come on, give the Lord a shout. What happened? Talk to me.
This is Brother Nando.
Hi. Prayer has affected this brother. Please, help him. Help him. We thank you for your labors. This is why we are doing what we are doing. People are burning the midnight candles.
Sir, this brother said he has arthritis. He said at the instance of the prayer.
You are too young for arthritis.
At the instance of the prayer, the power of God came upon him and completely he's made whole.
For your back. Yes. For how long?
For 7 years.
For 7 years. Yes, and everything is gone. Yes, bend down, confirm that everything is gone. Give the Lord the big shout of praise. It's permanent. My sister, what happened to you?
Last week I was diagnosed with a disease called Meniere's disease. I always feel dizzy, and spondylosis as well. That means my spinal cord in my neck is pressing onto the nerves, and then I lose mobility in my arms. I walk with my
two challenges: Meniere infection making her feel dizzy, and spinal spondylosis.
I always, because of this illness, I felt a heavy weight. But when you were praying, I just felt very light and happy.
That demon sitting on your neck was kicked out. It can't be there. That's not his destiny. In the name of Jesus, it's permanent.
Amen.
Give the Lord a shout. It's perfected. What happened to Papa?
Oftentimes,
you urinate frequently.
When the time for that urinating actually came, and I heard the word, that spiritual word from you, made me to sit down. Rather than going out, I just sit down, and the power just that demonic infection.
Echo Barakua. It's like some impartation also happened.
I couldn't really get it. Go out and the thing just is not
with
me.
That infirmity is gone forever. In the name of Jesus. You know, people who are elderly, they tell them all kinds of things and it creates fear and all this prostrate challenge. You will not have any of such challenges. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So write down your testimonies. We'll take them. We'll take them in subsequent service and give God the praise on your behalf. Congratulations. I decree and declare your healing is permanent. In the name of Jesus. What happened to you, sir? You had a spinal cord problem? What was the problem exactly? Wow. What were you feeling?
I've had surgery as well.
You had surgery? Yes. And the pain wouldn't go. What happened now? Come and bend, let's be sure. You can jump. You couldn't do this before? You couldn't do it before?
No, I could. But most of the time, if I sit down for a long time, I won't be able to. When you started praying, go.
So, for the time you have sat, you were not supposed to do this. But now you can. And you say you can jump. When you jump before, do you feel pains or what? Jump, let's see. That devil is put to shame forever in the name of Jesus. One more time, you want to celebrate Jesus? Lift your hands, give him a shout! Akamara makaiga guru jideke mo. Akamara ekumara makaiga guru jiova mo. I decree and declare your miracle is permanent in the name of Jesus. Everything God has given you today, you will keep forever in the name of Jesus. And everything God has caused to happen in you, he will use you to cause to happen in others in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. You can retire back to your seat. God bless you. God bless you.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said these prayers, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.